Previously on Video Killers.
Only love could make an end to his torture. Don't miss The Fury of the Wolfman. Action, violence, horror. Filmed with more realism than you can imagine. The Fury of the Wolfman, a Max Burr Film production.
Welcome to the Video Killers Podcast. This is Tim Hawley, one half of Tape Freaks, and I'm joined, as always, by Colette Ritchie, the other half of Tape Freaks.
Hi.
Greg Kay, our wonderful editor and sometimes contributor to Tape Freaks.
Yo.
And we have a special guest this episode for our very first time. Greg, do you want to introduce our special guest?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my wife, Michelle Capsalis.
Hi, guys. Thanks for inviting me to the party.
Huzzah.
You can thank us now, but we're about to open up a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get into our topic, I was going to mention something that's topical right now. Our wonderful friends at AGFA, the American Genre Film Archive, are struggling a little bit right now due to the pandemic. A lot of their income comes from theatrical bookings of the films that they're archiving. And so they recently have done a call out online, which we'll be sharing on our blog, and that they've lost 2/3 of their revenue this year, and they're going to be struggling for the foreseeable future because who knows when theaters are going to actually get up and running again. But what they do is a lot of amazing archival work of weird genre films. They're responsible for doing some amazing work that we've seen, stuff we've screened, stuff that the Alamo has screened, or I've screened at the Alamo. I really, really love these guys, and I really would hate to see them, you know, go under. But they're a nonprofit that are doing a lot of great genre archival work, and so they're just asking for donations if people have the means and the funds to do so. They have a donation link on their website, which will be, I guess we'll post that link and the little trailer of their call to help that they've put out into the world. And just put that on everybody's radar. I'm sure by the time this episode airs that a lot of the people listening to this will already have been aware of that, but I figure can't hurt to give it another boost.
Right.
Pick up some of their titles, give them some love, keep them afloat. What better way to kick off October than to talk about kinder trauma? Greg, do you want to field where the term came from?
Well, I believe the term came from Kinder Trauma, the website. At least they're the ones who trademarked it.
The website, I think those guys started it. I don't know. I don't know what year they started it, but that's where I first heard of it. And it's basically them reliving these things they saw as a kids that kind of haunted them or shaped their, you know, their love of horror or whatever. And then they eventually evolved into taking submissions and helping other people connect the dots. Because I think for a lot of people, their kinder trauma is maybe something they caught on TV or something they caught in passing, and they have like a vague memory of it, but you don't really know what it's from. And you're always kind of like chasing that to try and figure out, like put the puzzle pieces together to understand what that was. I know that like I guess when Colette and I first met, we were kind of doing that. We're trying to help each other out to understand, like, I saw this weird TV movie. Like, what was it? Like, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I figure that's a good way to kick off October is talk about all of our kinder trauma.
Yeah. Spooky.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, who's paying for therapy?
Before we got into this, Greg was saying he didn't think that he had a lot of kinder trauma, where I feel like there's a lot of things that I can point to that I have kinder trauma. Colette, do you have a lot of?
I've got tons, but I was a scared little kid. You had older brothers.
Yeah, which definitely contributed to a lot of kinder trauma for sure. Michelle, do you feel like you have a lot of kinder trauma?
I am an easily disturbed human being, apparently. I did have to narrow down a little, but the short answer is yes. There's plenty of things that got stuck in my head from being little, and probably throughout my life. I tried to narrow this down to stuff before the age of 10.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah, that's kind of like, I think, the perfect window of like, shaping your psyche. It's also one of those things where, like, I think that, like, for me, I was a scaredy cat. Like, I was like, things just freaked me out a lot when I was young. And, but then it also, like, it's like left me, like, always kind of like looking for that adrenaline rush, like, look, like, as an adult, and like, or as like, as I got older, like, kind of watching more horror films, kind of chasing the dragon in a sense, where like, you're just kind of like, you're looking for that scare again, and you just get like sort of desensitized to it to a certain extent.
Right. And to me, when I say I don't have a lot of kindred trauma, I believe there's lots of things that will pop up in my head here and there that would have spooked me out. And there's things I'm going to mention, but to me, it's trying to capture that first time I saw like Halloween.
Right. Just making sense of something that you don't quite understand, I guess, is kind of part of it. It's like something that does like sort of like your brain isn't wired to understand like this imagery you just saw or the sound you just heard or whatever. Like, that kind of just like, it's something is off about it and you don't know what it is. I guess for me, when I was a kid, I go to a lot of, you know, we all grew up in the era of the VHS rental video stores, and that I would always go to the horror aisle.
You're
right?
Old.
But like, I would always go to the horror aisle and look at the back of these VHS covers or look at these covers. And then like, I was like so freaked out by them, but I would every single time I'd sneak over there and look at them. Are we all on the same page?
No, I avoided that. Like, no. The plague.
Yes. I'm with Colette on that. That was the aisle you didn't go down.
I love that aisle. Even as young as I remember thinking I was breaking some sort of law too.
Totally.
You
know,
like, you sneak over there and it's, you know, you barely look up past the third shelf, but
yeah. Yeah. It wasn't quite like the porn section with the squeaky door that swung, that like people go in and out, but it felt
the
like it was like,
doors.
It was the taboo. Like, you weren't supposed to be in that aisle.
Right.
I was like, yeah, keep that aisle. I don't want it.
What's the first VHS, Tim, that you recall seeing? I can tell you mine, the first one, at least.
One of the ones, the covers that I remember very vividly was Chopping Mall, which is funny because it has nothing to do with the movie whatsoever. Right? This bag of body parts. Shopping will cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah. You can see an eyeball. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's a great poster. Mine is the original I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh, totally, yeah.
So much about the artwork on there. I did, and then the tagline was...
We'll soon cut, chop, break, and burn five men beyond recognition. And there isn't a jury in this country that will convict
them. No jury in the country would convict them. You know, I'm like, what did they do? I had no idea.
Is that the one where it's like just her walking away, or maybe just standing with her back to the
viewer? She's holding a knife. Yeah. She's holding a knife and you're seeing her backside and she's walking away. I think Demi Moore is the model on there.
Yeah, Demi Moore is the model on the cover.
What always got me as a kid, not just that, it's just because there's so much going on in that picture that to my young eyes, I didn't know. I mean, but one thing that always stuck out to me is how she holds the knife. She's not holding it by the handle. She's holding it by the blade. It's like, why did she... holding that knife up by the blade, I cut herself.
Yeah. Why is she so reckless?
What is she doing?
I was party to that, probably giving a whole group of 12-year-olds kinder trauma, because I worked at a video update. I guess a mom had come in and just told her, like, it was her daughter's birthday, and she just told all the girls that were sleeping over that night to pick a movie, and she didn't look at what they picked. And so we rang her up, but like, we're ringing up an adult, so like, you can do whatever you want, like, nobody questioned that. And she came back in when I was wrecking and was irate that we let children watch this movie. We're like, what are you talking about? The manager took over the conversation, and she's like yelling that he needs to take this filth off. And I had never seen it at that point, but she said, you need to take this filth out of here, and this is a snuff film and blah, blah, blah. So he pulled it and he found out I'd never seen it. And he's like, oh, here, do you want this copy? I was like, I guess. But yeah, she just let a group of 12-year-old girls watch a movie about, watch a rape revenge movie. Just like.
It was I Spit on Your Grave?
Yeah,
it was
I Spit on Your Grave. Yeah, I don't know if that came across. Yeah.
I didn't catch that so at first. Wow.
Yeah,
that's an intense one for a 12-year-old slumber party.
And it's not like it's not hidden on the box. Like, if you read the box, like, you would definitely be like, no, you're not renting this.
Yeah. There's nothing about that movie that says rent this for a slumber party at all.
Right.
But like, apparently the cover wasn't scary enough to like raise any flags.
I just love those old VHS boxes though, because they had almost every single one of them had this, a very similar format. It was like the block of text explaining the movie, and then there was always like one or two images like on the back, like, you know, and so you'd always like flip it over to see what the images was. And like you had like as a kid, like I didn't know what these movies were. Like I wasn't gonna like read the whole description. I was like already kind of freaked out and I shouldn't be there. So you like, flip it over to see those images, and then your brain just kind of fills in the blanks of like what you think the movie is based on those stills. And like what you imagine is probably way worse than those movies are.
Yeah, at that age your mind is just bursting with imagination.
Right.
That's so fun. And that's something that I think we're the last generation to really have that.
Yeah.
You know, wandering the video store. I mean, I'm sure there's a different variation of it now. Images are easier to come by, but then that's all you had. You know, I didn't know anything about Texas Chainsaw Massacre except for Rex Reed liked it, and huh. that you know, and that the poster looked cool, and there's a meat hook on the back. Well, that was all I needed.
This is the movie that Rex Reed called the most horrifying motion picture I have ever seen. This film is positively ruthless in its attempt to drive you right out of your mind. It accomplishes everything it sets out to do with brilliance and unparalleled terror. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I would scare myself shitless.
Yeah. One of those images that I definitely remember is the one of the Friday the 13th. I think it's part three, maybe four, where it's the guy on the bunk bed, like hanging off, and he's all bloody, but he's like kind of folded in half. It's the one where the guy's on the, he's doing he's walking on his hands, and he gets like,
that's part three.
Yeah. Three. Okay, yeah. I think it's that one. On the there's an image from the back where he's like, when it's like the body reveal shot when they find it near the end of the movie. Yeah, anyway. I have a definite memory burn of that image specifically. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, the cover of Ghoulies was the scariest thing I had ever seen in my entire life. I didn't watch that movie until, I don't know, I was very much an adult. And then I was like, what? This is a ridiculous movie. There's like straight up puppets in this movie.
I love that poster, actually. Yeah. In fact, little story, I won't take much time, but I was told I was going to see Ghoulies because I saw the poster at the video store. I was super excited. And my stepfather at the time said, yeah, we're going to see Ghoulies. We went and it was Goonies. It turned out Goonies was awesome, but it wasn't.
I remember the Ghoulies cover freaked me out too. And the kid two doors down, his parents rented it for him, and we went over there one afternoon to watch it, and it was like, oh my god, we're gonna see Ghoulies. And I remember just being like, oh yeah, this is pretty dumb.
It's like Greg won that day, like, yeah.
but it's funny because like I know that there's a story that of specifically the Ghoulies cover is kinder drama for a lot of people, so much so that they had a petition that Charles Band dealt with where like families petitioning and writing to like have that cover removed and posters removed from video stores because like, a whole bunch of kids refused to potty train because that cover traumatized them.
Toilets terrifying after that, like, nope.
Oh, it's so great. All right, so let's just start going around and chiming off now that we've gotten into that, but going off of our individual kinder traumas. Michelle, you want to kick us off since you're our special guest?
Sure, absolutely, because it'll probably be some of the goofiest ones.
Oh, I got some goofy ones.
I tried to pick things that weren't necessarily horror films, because I think to a lot of people, those images from horror films, as intended, do stick in your head. Sometimes, no matter what age, but especially if you're younger. Probably the first one that sticks out to me, the most vivid, true kinder trauma, little kid, I'm messed up forever, was actually Star Wars: A New Hope. And in the garbage chute with the eye that comes up out of it, just that fraction of a second was enough to mess me up forever. And I would like to put in the caveat that I am unabashedly a Star Wars fan from that time. I love the movie, but every time we rented the VHS or it just happened to be on whatever channel, it was a hide your face behind the sofa type moment. Just for that fraction of a second.
Look, I had everything under control until you let us down here. You know, it's not going to take them long to figure out what happened to us.
Could be worse.
It's worse.
There's something alive in here.
That's your imagination.
Something just moved past my leg.
I get that.
Yeah.
That thing was spooky.
and it had veins and.
Well, it told you like anything's going, anything can be in there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's attached to it, and you don't know what it did to Luke when it got him. It's weird.
Well, because he pops up and it's like kind of wrapped around him, right, and everything. So
a part you didn't see in the first image of it. So. It's not intended to be scary. It just was.
That one makes sense.
Evil Muppet.
Yeah, evil puppets.
That got to me.
We could go for hours on evil puppets.
Yeah.
But that's definitely my first one.
All right. That's a pretty good one. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a funny one. No, it makes sense though. Like some of those creepy puppets in movies, like I feel like sometimes would creep me out. But
I have a creepy puppet one.
Well, you go next then.
I loved the Muppets growing up, and there was I don't know which Muppet it is now, but like there was one Muppet that gave me nightmares, and I would like freak out and cry when it was on the when it would pop up on the show. But he was like in the episode, I think he's just like he's an evil Muppet, and he's got like squinted eyes, and he's got maybe a mustache, and he's just like slinking around in the background and doing like nefarious things, but he's not actually evil. They're just making it like, they're like playing up this dynamic of like, oh, he's the bad guy. And then in the end, he's not the bad guy. He's their friend. And I didn't believe them.
I can't think. What does he do?
I can't remember what he does. My mom thought for a really long time it was the one that blows everything up.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Totally not him. That one.
It's like a one-off one.
He's like a little head.
He's like
itty-bitty head.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
that guy was creepy, too.
He's orange. Like, I know I've seen the episode as an adult and been like, oh, because that's why I know he was like not actually evil, but I just, I didn't
Dr.
agree.
Dr. Teeth used to give me a little bit of the creeps.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I think about it. Was it the Sesame Street or Muppet Show, those aliens that like,
yip. That's Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The yip yips.
The yip yip.
Yep.
Yip
yip.
Yip.
Oh,
yeah. Those
things yip. Yip 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 yip.
Forgot about that.
What? Look. Look.
I don't know what yours is, though.
I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I can't think of what that is.
I didn't think of it until she said that, and I was like, oh,
it's not
man.
The guy with the bomber who had, like, fish?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Isn't that, yeah. The same guy.
Yeah. He had, but they were like fish grenades or something. Yeah.
I thought they were like throwing knives, but fishes.
Oh, so yeah, maybe.
I know. Been a while.
I just remember him throwing fish. But my mom, I was convinced it was him, and I was like, it's not that guy.
Well, if anyone out there knows what she's talking about,
yeah, let us know, because I can't think of what it is.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember the name.
I have one that kind of goes with that.
Go for it.
The old Popeye cartoons, they had these recurring characters called the Goons. I just remember there was one named Alice Goon who falls in love with Popeye.
Who loves Popeye? Alice! Alice the Goon! I hypnotized her and now she loves you.
But they don't really talk, if I remember correctly. They just kind of walk around with these shapeless bodies with big noses and little itty bitty beady eyes. They look like Kilroy from the Kilroy Is Here.
Okay, yeah.
Thing for anyone out there that knows about that, probably one other person in the world. Those things, yeah, they creep me out because they don't really say anything and they're just like big shapeless big nose things.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain that. It's one of those things that I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah,
they do look creepy, and Popeye was always a little bit creepy anyway, just on its own. I feel like
a little weird,
little just like. It just felt a little off, but like, yeah, you put something that's really creepy in there.
I loved the Popeye with Ron Williams by Altman.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's something creepy about that too.
It's a little off. Yeah.
I always felt air. Yeah.
They nailed it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess yours is an animated thing. So it transitions perfectly into one of mine, which is the Garfield Halloween special aired in the mid 80s.
Oh, yeah,
I saw that when I was a kid, and it's like basically like a remake of The Fog, but for like kids, mm-hmm. because like Odie and Garfield get on like a rowboat and end up on like on an island where there's this old man, and he's telling about there's this ghost like pirate ship that's going to come there, and like they have to hide in cabinets as the ghosts like come in. But like that freaked me out. Like mm-hmm. specifically, it's a spot where like they get to this like abandoned house and they go in to warm themselves by the fire, and then they turn around and there's this like old guy in a chair just staring at him all bug-eyed, and that freaked me out as a kid.
100 years ago tonight, a ruthless band of pirates held up in this very house. They had looted many ships and were pursued by government troops. They were so heavily laden with their ill-gotten gains, they had to bury the treasure before making their escape. They signed a contract written in blood. They vowed to return for the treasure 100 years from Halloween night at the stroke of midnight, even if it meant returning from the grave.
Yeah, that was a definite like early Kinder trauma. Like, because I think that aired, like, I think I saw it maybe the first year it was aired. It was like 85, 86. So I would have been 5 or 6. And yeah, I remember that just creeped me out mm-hmm. so bad.
That was one of those things I loved growing up. We always had the Christmas specials. And then they kind of start doing Thanksgiving ones here and there. Mm-hmm. But I liked how they started doing Halloween ones. Like yeah. Garfield had one. I think Farside had one.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
The comic book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the comic strip.
Yeah. Great Pumpkin, the Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic. Big one. I think that must have been one of the early ones. The Great Pumpkin must have been one of the early like Halloween specials, I would think, that led yeah. to some more of them doing it. Because the Garfield one was definitely they were doing those animated specials because the comic strip was so popular, but it was before they did the whatever USA Acres Garfield and Friends animated show. So it was like definitely like long before that. Like that, I think, spawned from those holiday specials. But yeah, the Garfield Halloween special was definite. Some
good call.
Early yeah. creepy stuff.
That's so. Definitely also creeped me out. I loved Garfield, so that would have been like extra traumatizing.
All right, back to you, Michelle.
Well, I'll just go for a thematic one, because sometimes I think with Kinder trauma, it may not necessarily be a specific scene, but an overall feeling that mm-hmm. you just get yeah. from a show or a movie. And mine was Drop Dead Fred.
Honey, why'd you call him Drop Dead Fred?
Because that's his name, Daddy.
Like many small children, Lizzie had an imaginary playmate.
Drop Dead Fred is going to teach me how to cook today.
Something about Fred is completely unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even watch the movie again to find out if it still does it.
Oh, boy.
yeah.
So you're team sanity is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay over here. And I wish I could even tell you, like, specifically the movie plot. But it was so long ago at this point that I just remember the trauma. And I've seen the movie.
I've seen that movie a bunch of times. I don't think I could tell you the plot. Not really.
Okay, so I feel a little better. Thank you.
One of the last movies I remember Phoebe Cates was in. Mm-hmm. And Fred was
Rick Mahal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from the Young Ones.
Young Ones, yeah. I love the Young Ones.
Yeah, Young Ones was a great show.
Yeah, it was filmed in Minneapolis.
Not the Young Ones, but Drop Dead Fred.
Drop Dead Fred was.
Yeah. Drop Dead Fred was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
was a big deal.
I loved that one, but I must have seen it when I was older, because my mom was going to MCAD when I saw it, and she was like pointing out the things. She's like, "That's the car dealership across from the library where we wait for the bus." I'm like, "Oh, it is!" And that's
actually, that'd
place.
Be fun to watch now. Yeah. You know, just out the old landmarks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be fun to revisit that one now, right?
Yeah, it's probably time to face the fear.
Yeah.
I faced Time Bandits, mm-hmm. Michelle, the other mm-hmm. night.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
give you credit.
That's one of your Kinder dramas, then?
I saw Time Bandits mm-hmm. really young at the theater, even. And I was one of those movies that I was dropped off at the movie theater to watch. So I watched it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's made by Terry Gilliam, who's actually, I believe, from Minnesota.
Yep, from Minneapolis, yep.
But it's very British. You know, it just, mm-hmm. all the characters are. And it just felt alien to me at that age. You know, it didn't feel like safety to me to begin with.
I feel it probably feels like it's alien even now to a lot of people, I would imagine. It's a very odd film.
And I just remember the ogre is what really kind of creeped me out when I was a kid. You know, how they had to tear his, pull his arms out and stretch him, and he start feeling. It's funny now.
Yeah, yeah.
But back then, it was really creepy.
It's yeah,
a scary guy, and then you find out that the ship they're on is just a hat.
Just yeah,
big monstrous thing.
I can see how that would be trippy to a tiny mind.
It's such a great film.
It's an amazing film.
It was fun.
Yeah, we enjoyed it, but then the ending is what got me. I'm not big on. I mean, those are kind of endings, as I've mentioned before. Some movies like Last American Virgin has a nasty little ending. Mm-hmm. So does Time Bandits. Mm-hmm. For anyone who has not seen it, you know, cover your ears. But his parents die, and he's left alone.
Yeah,
and they even go, "Hey, look, there's Sean Connery. He's, you know, the one you got along with that you're already sad that he had to live with him. He's going away too."
It's just, I don't,
it's pretty nihilistic.
Yeah,
I remember catching that one on like cable or something like that as a kid, and I think I like the opening in like the bedroom when like he gets like kind of pulled into that world, right? Like that was enough, and I was like, "Okay, I'm done. Like I'm out."
Right.
And then eventually I watched the whole thing and loved it. But yeah, it was like, it wasn't until years later. Like it was just that opening. It was like, okay, this is already too spooky for me. I'm out.
Yeah. And the guy who played Pure Evil.
David Warner.
David Warner.
He was great.
The villain from Tron as well.
The villain that's from right. A lot of things.
Yeah.
Made a career playing villains.
Yeah. He's great at it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Time Bandits?
Yeah.
Oh man. We'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
It's great.
I was picturing Brazil the whole time, and I was like, that's not the right movie.
Also, yeah. Gilliam's, like, got such a unique style that, like, is so specific to him that, like, it's like, I think the first Gilliam film you probably see is going to be just unnerving and odd because it's just going to feel otherworldly, you know? Like, something about his, he's such a crazy filmmaker and does, like, especially that era of like wild fantasy films. They're all so like they feel like they're not from this planet, you know. All right, Colette, you're up.
I was epically creeped out by Mr. Rogers as a child.
Please won't you be my neighbor? Sometimes do you just say your words instead of singing them? I'd like you to guess what's in this box?
Oh, what's in the box?
Another box.
What's in the fucking box? Oh.
But he's so sweet.
I know.
I come down hard on the opposite of this.
I watched it as an adult and I'm like, yeah, it's super. He's so nice. And like everything in it is like, I probably learned this value that I have from the times that I've watched it. But like, it didn't help that my dad's mom would put it on when we were at her house. And she is she's a very strange person. Just, she would come to visit us and watch the Weather Channel the whole time she was there, back when the Weather Channel was literally just the weather.
That's an age issue.
It's just a radar, that thing.
Yeah. It would be the radar, and then it would be like, here's what it's like in Florida right now. And then it would go back to the radar. But
my dad did the same thing.
Yeah.
People born in the 30s did tend to do that.
That's weird. It's weird. But
yeah, it's better because usually the alternative is they watch Fox News all day, right?
That's true.
They did that too. Yeah. That's back when the clicker got easier to
manipulate. Nope. She would put it on and she'd be like, here's a kids show. But it was the only thing she'd let me watch in her house. So I would watch it because it's like morning and I'm tired and I want TV to be on, but I would not be happy the whole time. And like, I think what it was is when they go into the puppet land and he starts talking in all those voices.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure that was it because like, I so don't like that. I don't like you any look part of it.
Trauma, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Often. And the queen lady.
Oh yeah.
From that, she's highly mentioned.
Yeah, I don't think I was a huge fan of Imagination Land or whatever it was called.
Yeah, Imagination Land.
But
it's just off-putting.
Yeah, it was. I get it, I think.
Yeah. I get that. That kind of, I guess that's that reminds me of one of mine that I hadn't even thought about until now, is when I was a kid, I caught on TV, it was a live action, I think it was a British production of Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, there's a Jabberwocky in it. And like, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but oh my God, it freaked me out so bad. Like that Jabberwocky was like so terrifying.
That was on my list because my dad was a teacher before I was 10. So he was like one of the last years we lived where we were. He was like helping them like switch over to some computer thing. I don't know. He was always their computer guy. And we had to be at the school super late.
Mm-hmm.
And he just like dragged out the like AV cart and put in, he saw it was labeled like Alice in Wonderland. And he was like, oh, you love this movie. Great. Put it in and left. And we're in a dark elementary school that we don't attend, my brother and I. And he had turned I was trying to ambiance, like turn the lights off in the room. And I had no clue where he was in the building. And I'm sure he was moving around anyway. But like that thing gets so scary. Yeah. It's so scary.
It was like a couple part like mini series thing for TV.
TV miniseries for sure.
Oh man.
And it's like misleading because it is fun. And then all of a sudden she's like walking along and fun things are happening. And then lightning and thunder starts. And a freaking monster comes out of nowhere, and it's scary as all hell. You're just like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah.
No.
I agree. That's a scary thing.
And nothing's more scary than an abandoned school or after-hours school. Oh,
yeah. That makes it so school? Much worse. Oh, yeah. So much worse.
Yeah, my elementary school is butted up against a graveyard. Like you'd walk out the door, and like 2 feet away was a fence, and there was just gravestones. And so it was like all these like weird stuff would always happen. We'd always just like, okay, it's haunted. Like, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
It was like literally look out the window. I'm looking at gravestones. So like the wind blows and the cabinets open. It's like, well, that was ghosts.
That's not an exaggeration either. We go by there all the time. Like it's way too close.
Yeah. It's like straight out the door. There's like an alley that cuts the door and the fence to the graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay. So back to you, Michelle. You're up.
Okay. Well, this is kind of my trump card for embarrassing. But I was deeply and terribly terrified of the HBO moving logo from probably 1987. It was the swirling one with the da na 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 na. That one?
Yep. So the whole thing when it goes to the little model street then goes up into the sky.
Yeah. Yep. Terrifying.
I watched her watch it on YouTube the other night.
It's not pretty.
She was white.
Love that.
I even love the making of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you haven't seen the making of it, it's fucking great. Like, they built that out of metal. Like, oh my God, it's so awesome.
Metal.
Like, the logo is like a metal. Oh, yeah.
I was like,
yes, they spun it and the lights were. It's very cool.
Nope, that was another hide behind the couch moment. And I remember the couch, too.
Was it the music?
Bombastic.
I think it was a mix of the speed. Of the imagery.
What do you do with all that speed?
Yeah, you really shouldn't have been doing speed at that age.
But it was fun.
Ba-da-da, ba-da-da,
ba-da-da.
Yeah. Oh man, I love it.
Through the looking glass.
That's funny. Oh man.
Yeah. That's my weirdest one. But like I said, I'm trying to pick things that aren't horror movies.
So. Yeah.
I already knew this fear. From years ago, she told me.
Well, it's the first thing I say when I introduce myself to someone.
She's just like,
no, well, I'm definitely afraid
you
of
need to know if that
80s HBO bumper.
If it comes on, I'm jumping behind the couch.
Yeah.
I'm
like, all right. You're going to have to protect me through all time.
I actually, that's funny because I do know that I've heard this before, that a number of people have kinder trauma from the Columbia Pictures. The horse, the Pegasus
TriStar.
Jumping
TriStar.
Yeah. Oh. That one freaked a lot of people out. Like, I know they would
like
they had to like leave the theater until the logo was done. They'd go back into the theater. Like,
expert in some in being terrified of logos. I can see.
Yeah.
Just for a while there, they for some reason made all these opening logos really long.
Thought it was the thing.
Well, now it's just like it's like the same length, but it's like made up of like 15 different production companies. You got to see all the logos for.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no time for that.
Yeah, no time for you. Can't hog the time. We have like 18 other production companies that run through here.
Well, just a couple of years ago, we were at a movie with our friend Izzy, and we were there to see a scary movie that really wasn't going to be that scary. It was like Ouija or something, and the opening thing for, I think it's Blumhouse?
No. It was Don't Breathe was the film, and it was the Ghost House Pictures.
Ghost House.
Logo where like it's like the weird skull goes into the keyhole, and yeah. she jumped out of her seat. Like she was, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a great experience watching a horror movie with you.
Isn't it funny how some things just get some people out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well,
that's kind of a jerky one because it is a jump scare.
It is a jump scare for the logo. No, and it's like purposely made that way, but it was like, oh man, if you're jumping at the logo, man, this is going to be a really fun ride.
I'm pretty sure she looked at me and was like, that was spooky. And I was like, oh honey.
Greg, I guess you're probably up next.
Am I?
I don't know. Well, we kind of swapped the order here, but yeah, let's just go this way.
Well, that's all right. I can be next. We did mention earlier that VHS covers, and I was just going to list a few that really sparked my imagination and gave me fear, of some sort. I would see these VHS covers or posters back in the day, and then, of course, my imagination went wild, so I couldn't go see those movies. But then that movie is playing in my head that night,
Right.
And even though I've seen all these movies now, I still remember the ones that scared me in my head more. The ones that got me poster-wise was Mother's Day, which is a trauma film. It's not even a good movie. It's just kind of a rape revenge exploitation. But the cover has like two hillbilly brothers, one that's dressed like Jason Voorhees from Part 2 with a mat, with a bag over his head. Mm-hmm. And the other one's just grinning all creepy. And the mother is sitting there with half her face as a skull and the other half is her motherly, sweet old lady face. Mm-hmm. And she's in a wheelchair and she's holding a gift they gave her that's dripping blood with the decapitated head inside it. And I think that kind of ties into how I love like old sideshow carny imagery. That's something you'd see on the side of like an old dark ride or something at the carnival. Yeah. So maybe that's why. The other one as mentioned was I Spit on Your Grave. For some reason, Airplane. I don't know why, but as a kid, I didn't know what to make of it. So I was like, what is that? I can't tell you why I was scared of it, but it kind of gave me the
heebie-jeebies. It was your HBO logo.
It's not something I woke up in the middle of the night, Airplane. Strange. Creepshow was a movie poster that I actually now own and hangs in my house. But I always loved that poster. But it scared me initially. And all that stuff comes from something that gave me that kind of emotion early on. And then I just feel there's just always a little bit of just somewhere deep in me, a little bit of a remembrance of the fear I had looking at it younger. And I think that's kind of what Kinder Trauma really is, something that just still sticks in the craw a little bit.
Yeah. So,
or a lot of bit, like in your case with HBO.
My nemesis.
Two scenes that I stumbled upon as a child that my older aunt and uncle had rented when they still lived at home and I was younger and at the house. And I snuck in the room and I don't know why no one kicked me out, but they didn't. I watched my first exposure to Dress to Kill was the elevator scene.
Oh, God.
Brian De Palma invites you to a showing of the latest fashion in murder. Dressed to Kill.
Doctor, I am not paranoid. Bobby has threatened me over the phone. She said she was going to hurt me. My patient was slashed to death and my razor's gone.
There's all kinds of ways to get killed in this city, if you're looking for it.
Dressed to Kill. Murder. Made to order. Rated R.
I was scared so bad because of that. To the point where I still don't feel very easy in elevators.
Yeah.
Because,
I don't know what that one is.
De Palma.
It's Brian De Palma film, and what happens is, and spoiler alert for people who haven't seen it, but it's his homage to Psycho.
What makes the scene scary is the method of murder.
Right. She's the main star. Yeah, and she's riding this elevator, and suddenly the door's open on the floor she's going to. She's alone, and there stands a woman with a straight razor who proceeds to slice her up.
Mm-hmm. To death.
To death. With a straight razor, which straight razors, to this day, creep me out a lot.
I mean, they are creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know why somebody was like, I am going to rub this knife all over my face.
Yeah. Well, and yours, no, you're not getting jabbed with that knife. That knife is literally going to slice you to death.
Going to fillet you.
And the second movie was Motel Hell. I walked in on the garden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With all the heads in the garden and they're gurgling. I'm afraid to walk outside at night after that for a while.
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of scenes specifically that I caught out of context in films, in horror films and not, that freaked me out. Like the scene in Flash Gordon when they're putting their arms into that tree trunk. The scene in Last Starfighter when his replicant is not fully formed and it's bubbling.
Yes,
that freaked me out.
I forgot about that scene, but I agree with that one too.
Yeah.
Like the scene in there's a shot in the Cloak and Dagger film that's made for kids when you see the lady's hand and she's missing a finger. Like that freaked me out really bad. There's weird little shots, but then one of the biggest ones was I saw the scene of Johnny Depp getting killed in Nightmare on Elm Street. Him getting sucked into the bed, and that just I was so freaked out. I did not want to watch that movie. And it's I think that movie still is really, really creepy to this day. I think the first Nightmare on Elm Street is so well done. Mm-hmm. But that scene specifically freaked me out so bad.
Yeah.
I did that a few times. The first time I ever did it was with V.
Oh, yeah.
The miniseries
totally.
V.
A daring TV journalist struggling to uncover the startling truth behind the aliens' visit to Earth. And a beautiful and brave young scientist fighting for the very survival of the human race. Together, they take you on a fantastic journey to meet the visitors. Prepare yourself for a television event that's out of this world. Prepare for V. Next.
And I had snuck. It was still must have been summer because it was still light out, and they were trying to make me go to bed. And I was like, no, I want to watch more TV. And I snuck down the hallway, it was a really long hallway, and got to the end and was like, very quiet. I was so good at being sneaky. And it looked, and it's a part where a guy is speaking at a podium and he rips his face off and reveals underneath that he's, I don't know,
lizard.
Some horrible monster
lizard,
to me.
Yeah.
And I probably screamed, but I definitely ran back down the hallway. And they were like, oh, fuck, great.
There's the scene in V for me, too, where his face gets ripped and you just see the scales underneath.
Yeah, that's me. Right
and there. Then when she eats, guinea pig, her jaw, distends. And she I was like, oh, what am I watching? I was really into it, but those definitely, that really creeped me out, too.
Yeah. The other time that happened was... when I saw Terminator, but I only saw the part at the end where the Terminator is getting crushed by that machine and reaching through and trying to get her. And I had been I was being babysat by my mom's cousin or something. It was a whole family of people watching a movie that I wasn't allowed to watch. But I had somehow negotiated that I could be down in the living room with them if I had this chalkboard I was drawing on up in front of my face the whole time. And that was the one time I peeked, was when he's being crushed and reaching out to grab her. And my little kid brain was like, that is the head of her bed. And he's trying to get her through it. And for a year, I was five, for so many years afterwards, I slept at the minimum a foot away from the head of my bed. But for a long time, it was 2 feet. I slept on the second half of my bed.
I got another one. I guess this probably is probably a really common kinder trauma scene from a movie that a lot of kids saw was Large Marge in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
And when they finally pulled the driver's body from the twisted, burning wreck, it looked like this. Yes, sir. That was the worst accident I ever seen.
That was definitely one that, like, freaked me out super bad. Yeah. I'm sure that, like, a lot of people probably have that same one.
I don't have that one, oddly, but I didn't see that till I was older.
Oh, okay. Maybe not.
Yeah. I saw it at the right age to see it, and it was creepy.
I mean, I think it's meant to do that. It's like it's specifically the purpose of that, you know.
You were saying Friday the 13th or Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. I didn't see that movie until I was in my 20s maybe. Mm-hmm. For the first time, but that from first grade on I was terrified of that movie because when I lived in the country when I was growing up, and our bus ride was ridiculously long. And my best friend wanted to tell me all about this crazy movie she saw the night before. And we're in first grade. She's really excited to tell me all about Nightmare on Elm Street. And just her describing that movie, nightmares for so many years. And she tried to get me to watch it at some point. And like, I would sit with my back to the TV and she loved me. I loved her. So she was like, legitimately would be like, okay, you can watch, and I would turn around and I saw all the parts where it's just normal people doing normal people things. And then she'd be like, okay, turn back around, and I would turn back around because she had seen it so many times, she knew what was coming.
I mean, the concept of that movie is like just kinder trauma. Like, it's like the one place when you should be safe is in your when you're sleeping.
Yeah,
and like, to upend that is like such a brilliant idea.
But she didn't scare her in the slightest, but she was terrified of actual bears and actual werewolves, like being where we lived. And I'm sorry, not werewolves, just regular wolves. Oh. Werewolves was me.
We've all had friends that told us about movies they saw. Like, I lived next to some people that had cable, and they were always seeing movies that I couldn't see. And a couple stick out, and one of them was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I remember on the school bus hearing the older kids talking about that. Mm-hmm. And I also remember The Boogans.
Oh, but, yeah.
Boogans. I was like, oh my God, they live like in the vents and they shower. They told me all these images that did not live up the years later when I saw the movie.
Yeah. Can't remember any specific titles that people explained to me that I like vividly remember. But that also reminds me of like more VHS covers that like I filled in what I thought the movie was based on the cover. Mm-hmm. And another one was The Stuff. And all those people like goopy coming out of the fridge. I remember I saw that. I didn't even know that it was a killer yogurt movie because had I known that, it probably wouldn't have been scary.
Yeah.
But like, I remember just that image, like, what is like a blob thing happening? Yeah. I don't know, like absorbing them. Like,
yeah, it just opened my imagination looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all I knew about that movie was the Where's the Beef lady was in the was part of it. That's all I knew. That's great.
It's a very big, fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
It seems like a lot of the time it is one singular image or one very short series of images that causes the kinder trauma. Now, you know, you can mention the overall feeling something gave you as a whole, but generally speaking, these things are caused by a very tiny amount of time or even just a glance at something.
Yeah.
And in many cases, maybe something that never actually happened.
Right. Yeah.
Our brains putting together, like you were saying earlier, trying to make sense of something that maybe we'd never experienced or seen or had anything to relate to.
Yeah.
And you watch it years later going, this is the thing. This is it. Where is it? You know, where's that one thing that I remember scaring me so bad? That's kind of how I felt with Time Bandits the other night. Yeah. It's coming up. I don't know. Somewhere in here.
Yeah. Like, okay. This is definitely a scene. This is the scene. Oh, yeah. Nothing there. Oh, weird.
That isn't how I felt about Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh. That's not kind of trauma. That was just outright terrifying.
Yeah. So freaky.
Oh, yeah. That same friend did get me to watch The Howling. It had like the classic cover of her, like, this, like a claw scratching through the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Paper bag thing. I looked at the cover and I was like, I am not watching this. And she's like, no, seriously, it's ridiculous. You're gonna be fine. I'm like, no. And we like argued about it. I finally watched it and I was like, she turns into the little spoiler alert. When she turns into the little puppy dog thing, werewolf at the end. I've never laughed so hard at a horror movie. I was like, what the hell? That one we watched a lot. I'm glad that I watched that one because I think that cover would have given me nightmares that would not have met. Like, it would have been worse than that movie.
Yeah.
I love the artwork on that one, too. Mm-hmm. I think American Werewolf in London's the better of the two movies on the ever ongoing debate. But the Howling's got a much better poster.
Yeah.
Oh, so much better.
It's true.
Howling is probably one of my favorite movie posters.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very subtle and very scary and very cool.
All right, back to you, Michelle.
I just wanted to put in words about things that seem to be kinder trauma, generally speaking. And by that, I mean things that, like we were talking about, were intended for children. But every child who's ever seen them has come back not the same child they were going in. Giving kindertrauma.com a little credit for this, going through their list and seeing the kinship, I guess, people find on these topics. But the biggest one that jumped out, or the biggest two, first is The Neverending Story. And not just the horse death, which we're not going to talk about.
But that effed everyone up.
But it effed everyone up. But some of the other imagery out of that, I think most people can pick something out from there.
The other one is
Return to Oz. Yeah, the whole thing. Return to Oz. And people generally speak of things like the Wheelers.
Yep.
You have to come out sooner or later. And when you do, we'll tear you into little pieces and throw you in the deadly desert.
I haven't done anything to you.
Isn't that a stolen lunch pail in your hand? Isn't that a chicken in there with you?
And the room full of heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For me, it was just the guy who's supposed to be the scarecrow.
Yeah, or TikTok, the Tin Man-ish guy. Yeah. It was creepy to me, too.
Mm.
But yeah, how the scarecrow had a big... Didn't he have a jack-o'-lantern head?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ill-conceived.
Well, especially because it's messing with your brain as a child. Everyone watched Wizard of Oz at least once or twice in your life. Not this horrible monster of a thing they showed us.
Yeah.
I like it, though. I like it in retrospect. I hate it Return to Oz back in the day, though.
Oh, I was freaked out by it, but I loved Return to Oz for some reason when I was a kid. Like, I was drawn to it. Like, I know a lot of people have kinder trauma from Dark Crystal, and I was also drawn to that, too. Like, I was creeped out by it, but I kind of was, like, I was really, like, into it. And Return to Oz was one that I was like, this is really freaky. Like, the Wheelers and the heads was definitely, like, super creepy. But, like, I was like, something is really off about this movie, and I'm, like, kind of amazed by it. And it wasn't until years later when I watched it, I was like, this is still pretty great. But like, I didn't catch as a kid that she's going through like shock therapy in the beginning and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
that's another scene that to me would be one of those images, the shock therapy.
Oh. This wasn't on my radar at all until until you started talking about it when we were adults. But like, the original Wizard of Oz was one that I was like, I don't like this movie.
Flying monkeys and stuff.
I don't know. I think it was the witch.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
You got another one you want to bring up?
Well, I got a lot of them. I got the one that, like, solidified my fear of aliens, or another one that was just explained to me, and, like, I still... Well, it was explained to me, and then it was, like, my biggest fear, and then I find out that it's real, and it's happened to people, but that one is Bad Ronald.
Oh.
After an accidental murder... Ronald, a lonely and unpopular boy, takes refuge in a fantasy world.
All will be for nothing if we don't heed the rules.
Today I begin joining Princess Fansetta. She's the ruler of Atranta.
An existence that becomes inescapable and deadly. Starring Kim Hunter, Dabney Coleman, and Scott Jacoby in a compelling thriller. Bad Ronald.
Made for TV movie. My dad's friend's wife was explaining the plot of this movie to my mom when we were all sitting around her kitchen table one morning. I don't know how old I was, but I had to have been under 10. But she's like, oh, I just saw it was just like the most unnerving thing. And I don't know why I still sat there and listened to the whole thing. I don't know why nobody told me just to leave. But like, for those who don't know, Bad Ronald is a movie about a kid who on his birthday accidentally murders another child.
Pushes her down and she dies.
Yeah, he wasn't intending to kill her, but he goes home and his mom's like, we have to hide you. So they build a room like with a false wall in her house where he lives now.
In the wall.
They build this thing overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And she dies pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, she goes to a doctor appointment like a week later and then she never comes back.
And somebody buys the house. And the
Dabney,
kids
did... Dabney Coleman, the dad in the family. Yeah.
And he is still living on the wall. I don't remember really what my understanding of it was before I saw it. But when we moved into our first apartment, I was convinced there was a guy living in the walls. Like, I would, like, stand in the doorway and make sure that you couldn't, like, that it wasn't big enough for somebody to be in there. Yeah, it's creeped me out. To this day, like, I get, like...
I get that, yeah. Something like that, yeah. That imagery gets stuck in your head, mm-hmm. and it's hard to shake.
I don't know who thought that was a good idea. I mean, but good for them for, like, not only thinking of that, like, this, like, elderly mom and her, like, teenage son built a freaking wall that fooled cops in their house. They were like, well, this is just part of the house, so I guess we'll be leaving now. But it's really happened to people where... they're a kid and they're like, somebody's living in our house. And the parents are like, yeah, whatever, stupid child, shut up and go to bed. And then there's actually like something happens and like, they're like
being parents though.
Yeah, no kidding.
There was, I think it's actually Grady Hendrix. I think it might be him.
Who?
Because yeah, I think it was him who posted, it was somebody like that who posted on Twitter and told this story about how when he's a kid, he was convinced that somebody was like, he could hear people in the ceiling and in the walls. Mm-hmm. And then like he'd get up after he'd go to bed. He would get up in the middle of the night a lot and just sneak downstairs to get a snack. And one day he came downstairs and there was something like something was out that shouldn't have been out
at night though.
At night. And then another night he came down and there was a guy standing in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And he freaked out and he didn't want to get caught by his parents. So he just went and went to bed, but then told them the next day about it. And then eventually they found out that there was a guy living in their walls in their attic, yeah. and had been like sitting and watching him as he slept through the vent, mm-hmm. and was drawing him, mm-hmm. like super creepy.
Tim was reading it all aloud to me and I'm just probably yelling way too loud in my house. Like, fuck that. Fuck yeah. this. Yeah. Cause there's more and more like through the thread, like people are like, oh, that happened to me. My family didn't believe me. And then it turned out like there was a horrible smell coming from our walls, mm-hmm. and the guy had died and that's how they found him. Like,
yeah.
It's not that uncommon.
But yeah,
settingly not that uncommon.
People should go to Grady Hendrix's Twitter and read his, like how he writes it is, it's like it's a short story, like written through multiple tweets. It's really well written, mm-hmm. and it's really terrifying.
So terrifying.
Definitely. I'm a huge fan of Grady Hendrix.
Yeah.
You guys, once you're there, go buy his books and read those
yeah.
too.
Yeah. He's done amazing writing. He's super talented.
Is he the IKEA guy?
Horror Store. He also did My Best Friend's Exorcism, right?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right.
And then he did a great, that great book that's all about horror pulp. Yeah, Paperbacks from Hell, the horror pulp novels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's awesome. But yeah,
that book recently has been really good too. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. A little tangent, but yeah. Okay, back to you, Greg. You got any other ones?
Growing up, I really loved those old vinyl albums you could buy that were like haunted house sounds of the night and mm-hmm. and Halloween sounds. It was usually stuff like just cats shrieking, doors opening, chains rattling, all that jazz. But I had two albums that I really, really loved, and they're both by Disney, and they both had the same voice actor.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
Right? Ravenscroft. Anyways, he had a really deep baritone voice.
Oh, okay.
And you'll know him because he was like the voice of the Haunted Mansion.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There. Anyway, the first album was The Haunted Mansion. It's called The Story and the Song from The Haunted Mansion. It's really fun because it's like takes you through the ride via the sounds.
And right.
They have like two teenagers that kind of play your surrogate. One of them is played by Ron Howard. As a child,
oh.
and they ride the ride, so you're living it through them. I looked it up on YouTube, and I could feel that still that sense of it. You know?
Yeah.
But and there's a lot of those I loved. But another one was Disney put out, and it had him narrate it.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
It was The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
And turning around was horrified to see him right on his heels. Ichabod was staring into the flaming pumpkin head, which the horseman held under his arm. With a shriek of terror, Ichabod plunged onto the bridge and galloped across. He gained the opposite side and turned to look to see if he was safe. He saw the ghastly specter arise in his stirrups and hurl his fiery head right at Ichabod. He tried to duck, But too late, it hit his head with a great crash, and he tumbled headlong into the dust. Next morning, Ichabod's hat was found and close beside a shattered pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other side of that album was The Legend of Rip Van Winkle. But The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the album, there is a movie or a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. It's a short, yeah.
That creeped me out.
Short. And it's creepy, but I argue that the album is way creepier. It just stuck with me back then. I remember just nightmares. I wasn't allowed to listen to it anymore. I got taken away.
Yeah, I also had that record. I remember it creeping me out, but the cartoon also creeped me out really bad.
Mm-hmm.
That ending shot of the horseman was like super creepy. I think it was back in the 80s. They used to do this, like, it was like Disney's Halloween treat. And it was like a Halloween special where they would cut the scary spots of like all the different Disney movies, like the witch from Snow White. And it had the Headless Horseman segment, and it had a bunch of that stuff. Like, it was like
dancing skeletons.
Yeah, the dancing skeletons. But the one that I remember also creeped me out was the Bald Mountain segment from Fantasia.
Demon.
And, like all the spirits in his hand and stuff. And I was like drawn to it, but I was like also like creeped out by it.
There's probably a few from Fantasia for a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The vivid nature of that imagery.
Yeah. What a great movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in ages.
It's crazy that it even got made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have anything else?
So one of my big ones, which Clint mentioned before, was a movie that I caught on TV when I was a kid. And my memory of it, it freaked me out. But my memory of it was, I could remember a lot of things about it. And I would describe it to people, but I sounded like a lunatic. Mm-hmm. And like then nobody knew what the hell I was talking about. And it was one of those movies where, like, for a long time, I thought maybe I just made it up. You know, like I saw something and the rest of it was like a weird, like, memory that I created, until I met my friend Tim and we were hanging out one night and we started talking about Kinder Trauma, stuff like that, and he had seen the same film and we figured out what it was. And it's this French Canadian film called The Peanut Butter Solution, which has now since been released by Severin Films.
Michael's a normal boy in an abnormal position.
He had a little accident.
You had yourself some sort of extraordinary fright.
Michael, where's your hair?
I'm bald
now. He's got one hairy problem. And he's about to find a solution.
You can't just come into our house, can you?
Ghosts can go anywhere.
In the least likely place you'd think.
Here's old Charlie's recipe.
A jar of peanut butter.
Don't use too much of it or watch out.
But the peanut butter solution is just the beginning.
It's growing so fast.
Of an even bigger problem.
But Mr. Jingles, it's moving.
Human hair grows only half an inch a month, no more.
Oh, that's a head of hair. Well done, son.
I don't think it's natural, Dad.
It's the peanut butter solution.
This is a classroom, not a barbershop. A toast to this new hair. Long may it grow.
But if it doesn't stop growing, what will happen to Michael?
If anybody is not familiar with it, it's a kid's film, but it's about a bunch of kids that there's like a haunted house down the street, like an abandoned house. And this one kid gets bet into going into the house, and he goes in and you don't see what he sees, but he gets terrified to the point where he like collapses. And then he's so scared that all of his hair falls out. So he goes bald. And then these two homeless people, like spirits, come to him and tell him that if he concocts this solution out of household items in the kitchen using peanut butter and rubs it on his head at night, that his hair will grow back. But he has to follow these steps specifically. And in doing so, he messes it up, adds too much peanut butter, and then his hair grows back, but it won't stop growing. And it just like grows and grows and grows like nonstop. He's like, has to cut his hair multiple times a day. And he's just like, everybody makes fun of him and stuff like that, because he's got like these crazy, like, always like bundling it up in his head. And it's like they have people in the classroom trying to like other kids like cutting his hair just because it's like won't stop growing. And then if that's not weird enough,
it's like the first third of the movie.
their teacher, who's like I think it's their art teacher, who's evil, ends up starts kidnapping children and keeping them in a warehouse, and then kidnaps our lead character with this hair thing. And so that these kids, this like army of children that are all been kidnapped, and the kid with the long hair are then forced to work to cut his hair and make paintbrushes out of them, which then become magical paintbrushes that he can paint doorways into other dimensions with. So wow. Like you can see like that description, like I was like trying to explain it to people and I'm like, what are you talking about?
You didn't even have that many details. No. I don't think you were just like
his hair falls out, hair peanut falls butter on his head.
He puts peanut butter on his head and like I think it's French.
Yeah, I thought it was a French film
because they're speaking French.
Yeah. Or they're like, they have a very like kind of, yeah, it's like French accents.
They're like dubbed, I think.
It might be, yeah. It was just a weird film. I didn't know until even recently when the new one came out that Celine Dion early on did some songs for it. It's a bizarre film. I guess it's based off of a series of books that were really popular in Canada. But it's, yeah, God bless Severin for having started a children's label of all things called Severin Kids and launched it with with this. I guess it was a kinder trauma for anybody who saw it, but it was not a widely distributed film. And I happened to catch it on cable. And it was, you know, it was billed as a kid's film. It was played during the day for kids. And
yeah,
it's
it is
a
not
weird
a kid's
movie.
That movie is scary.
Yeah, but pre kinder trauma website, like this is like probably like late 90s. My friend Tim and I were like, wait, you seen that movie? Like, what are you talking about? And it was like, he remembered bits that I didn't remember. And I remember bits that he didn't remember. We were able to sort of piece it together and eventually figured out. Yeah, it was called The Peanut Butter Solution.
Well, lucky us. It looks like it is included on Prime Video right now. So.
There you go. I would say it's not a great film and it's probably not going to be creepy to anybody if you see it.
It is really creepy. I'm sorry. It's like a very...
It's just a strange movie.
It's like one of those 70s movies that just like the quality of it is already creepy to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that one was creepy. I didn't know anything about it until I was an adult. And then I didn't see it until more recently. We watched it just a couple of years ago.
I think I found a VHS tape of it when we were VHS hunting and we watched it again.
That makes sense.
But yeah, does anybody else have any last minute or last edition kinder traumas that they have?
I have one that I the one I was going to talk about the whole time and forgot. So sorry. The one that really, 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 this is my kind of trauma. This is the one that I do recall freaking me out was a Batman comic came out in the early 80s, I believe. Maybe it was late 70s. I don't know. I don't even know how I got it, to be honest. But it was one of those ones, a comic book, and they had a little vinyl in the back and it play the comic. And it was called Robin Meets Man-Bat.
Yep.
And it's a very simple story about these guys who are robbing some vault and Batman and Robin show up.
The lock belongs to First National's maximum security walk-in vault, but to three highly specialized bank robbers, no security seems to be maximum enough.
Good evening, gentlemen. We're glad you could drop by.
Batman! Don't you fellas know it's polite to not press?
And Robin! They were waiting inside!
No, it isn't fair! Look at them move!
Every crook makes at least one mistake, Trench, and your gang is no exception.
A bank robber flips a switch on the strange circuit-studded gadget in his hand, and at once the air is filled with a piercing, ear-splitting sound.
Ah! My ears!
And they're foiled by the bad guys have, like, this gun that makes, like, this high-frequency sound that stuns them, and then they can run off. But turns out an ally of Batman named Man-Bat is there, and he shows up and there's a story, and it gets dark, where Man-Bat's wife takes a potion that turns him into a bat, and then she becomes homicidal and tries to kill Batman. You know, I think it's done by Adam West, Batman.
It does sound like him.
But it's what got me is the sound effects. There's the clink, clink, clink of the safe as they're opening at the beginning. The atmosphere of the whole recording is just really resonated in my head. It really woke up my imagination. But what really was the shriek of the man bat. You know, I have a little clip here. I'm going to show you guys. And tell me if this doesn't scare the shit out of you.
This can't be happening. But it is. I've become a man bat.
And that screech, I'm telling you, I feel kind of uneasy right now.
It sounds like a lady screaming almost.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and they do it a lot, though. That was just one. He does it like half the episode of that screech. I'll drop some more clips of this and give people an idea.
That's great.
But man,
that's great.
I forget, like... I actually have a record, one that was a story record that I shouldn't have been afraid of, that I got from the library, and I got it because it was Muppets again. Mm-hmm. But I still don't know what it is today. It was some sort of like something that happened in a castle. It's like a story about something in a castle. Mm-hmm. And there's a monster telling a princess, like she's trying to like shut her up so she doesn't blab something. And she just keeps going, "Have another popover, sweetie." That part scared me so bad. But that was one where I would want to rent the same record again. And my mom's like, didn't you get that enough? I'm like, it's so scary. I don't understand this at all. But because I don't know what a popover is. I didn't know what a popover was then. And I still kind of don't.
Yeah, we had Alfred Hitchcock telling ghost stories record.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
I've heard that. I love it.
How do you do, boys and girls? My name is Alfred Hitchcock, and I'm delighted to find that you believe in ghosts, too. After all, they believe in you, so it is only common courtesy and politeness to return the favor. As a matter of fact, I tell them human stories all the time, and they enjoy them immensely.
I can't remember if it was the Alfred Hitchcock record or it was another record that I had that was telling ghost stories, and it was one of those ones where it's the classic like hitchhiker. And then the hitchhiker's gone or whatever. Mm-hmm. It turns out that like the person they picked up had been killed on that street, years before. And they drive them to their destination and drop them off. And they find out that person was actually a ghost the whole time. Whatever. Yeah. I can't remember what record it was from. Michelle, you got any other kinder traumas?
Oh, many, many kinder traumas.
You want to throw one more in?
You mentioned the Muppets and there was this Muppet movie. And I feel bad because I don't remember the name of it. I didn't think of it until just now, but it was the one where the princess can't speak properly. And Robin Frog, is that the same one?
That's the thing. Yeah.
That's
Bake the hall in the candle of her brain.
Yeah. Yes.
The line.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I agree completely. That was freaky. And I wanted to watch it constantly.
What is the girl saying?
I know what she's saying. She's trying to say that Pamela is...
I'm a popover, Froggy.
That witch just jammed a popover into my friend's mouth.
Laddie, you've got to do something.
Sire, I must speak with you alone.
I'm a popover, Froggy.
She did it again.
Pamela is a weevil itch.
What did she say?
She said that Pamela is...
I'm a popover, Froggy.
What did she say?
That Pamela is a weenish bitch.
What did she say?
Don't ask me to repeat it. Compliments make me blush.
It's the one. Yep. Yeah, it's the princess and the toad or something like that.
Is it the princess and the frog?
Does that have the little
crib? Yeah, it's got the little. It's the
Robin Frog.
Okay. Yeah,
that's Robin Frog.
That's the introduction of Robin Frog. Yeah, I think we have that on VHS.
We have that?
I think so.
I don't think I've seen it.
I didn't know it was a thing. I just knew it from the.
Yeah, but there was a record of that, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah. We'll have to watch that. We'll just see if that was what it was.
I can't remember. I feel like it was pretty big in its day.
When she said that, I was like, no, that's totally in it. Like,
yeah.
Sweetums was the monster.
Yeah.
Sweetums. Yeah. But is there a Lady Sweetums in it too?
There might be. But you said the popover thing, and I was like, oh, that sounds familiar. Like, yeah.
What the fuck is a popover?
So I'll second that one.
Yeah.
That's my final one.
We'll have to watch that and report back.
Yeah. Can we zoom that one?
Yeah,
right. add it to movie night.
Well, I guess there's another one that I haven't revisited since I was a kid. That it probably doesn't necessarily hold up as being freaky, but it was another one that I had seen on broadcast TV in the late '80s, and creeped me out because I didn't really know what the hell I was watching. And it was a 1961 black and white film called The Mask. Where there's a 3D segment in it where they put this like weird mask on and everything gets like psychedelic and there's weird experimental like synthesizer noises, and that whole like segment goes into 3D. And I remember I saw it, it freaked me out, that segment, and then I never saw it again. And I remember finding one of the old Psychotronic film magazines, or maybe it was like the Guide to Incredibly Strange Films in the late 90s, where that was on the cover of it. And I'm like, that's the movie. Like, what is that? Yep. And then it didn't until I think Kino put out a Blu-ray of it. And I picked it up and I was like, eventually I'm going to revisit this one. I'm not like in a rush to see it, but like, I'm excited to revisit that one because I remember that that weird, like, it's like a descent into hell, basically, is what happens in it or something.
Yeah, I did see it. I remember we had to go to Tom Thumb to get the glasses. You know, that's how they build it. Like, go to Tom, your local, that's when they had Tom Thumbs, which is what,
I think they still have one. They had one in Fridley when not that long ago when we drove through there, but that might be gone by now.
I was super excited. I got the glasses. I saw that. And that was
it the actual mask thing that they put out when they
That's what I recall, at least. I just remember them being normal. I mean, they said the mask on. I wish I still had them, but I don't.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, the one now you maybe we could go this
forever. Yeah, you know, really.
But did anyone remember seeing that Gorilla at Large 3D movie they played?
Coming soon to a television set near you, Gorilla at Large in 3D. Get your 3D glasses at IGA food stores and Shop and Go, and be watching for Gorilla.
I didn't get to see it. I was deep too young or something. I can't
remember. I think, didn't it play the same night as The Mask? Wasn't it a double feature or something? Because I feel like The Mask played with another film that same night. But maybe
no, I mean, they easily could have done another double feature like that. But when I recall seeing The Mask, I was a little bit older.
Yeah, it was a big deal that they were going to broadcast this 3D thing and you could go get a pair of glasses to watch this 3D film.
I think Gorilla at Large was like in 82. So I was pretty young, young. And I think that's because it was all the craze. 82 was like the big revival year for 3D movies.
Which actually reminds me of another segment in that Disney Halloween special, which is the Donald Duck short where there's a gorilla on the loose and they're listening to the radio. And he's like, the gorilla gets into the house, and it's like Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
That's a great one, yeah.
So good.
Yeah, that's creepy. Yeah, that was downright creepy.
Yeah,
creepy, I remember it, yeah.
Because there's like a bunch of shots of like the gorilla's face. You like, they open a door, and it's like a weird, like, it's almost like a Ren and Stimpy thing where it's like a still that they're zooming in on, and it's like dark, and he's got big eyes and huge teeth, and like the saliva is dripping from his teeth. Yeah.
And he's going to eat them because they're ducks.
Yeah. And it makes sense. I mean, they're food.
One of mine that we revisited that didn't hold up as scary at all, but it scared me for so long I wouldn't ride elevators. But I caught it. I think I got it on TV.
It was a TV movie.
Yeah. It's the 13th floor.
Not the 13th floor from the late 90s. Like that's like the weird like Lawnmower Man like tech thriller one.
Nope.
No, this was like a late 70s, early 80s film about a hotel where there's like a floor that's like. It's been boarded up, like you can't get into it, and then people like keep accidentally ending up on this floor, and it's like,
yeah.
I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah,
that was great timing. Perfect. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That was awesome.
Oh yeah, but it's like the 13th floor in this one is like they have to sacrifice enough people to Satan, and then that floor will like. They'll be immortal, the people who are doing the sacrifice. Something
I watched it a couple years ago.
It's super convoluted. I was convinced, because like in the movie, they're like, oh, it's superstition to not have a 13th floor. And I asked my mom about it, and she's like, yeah, why do you know about that? Like, we don't live anywhere where there's fucking elevators. It's where, like, the hospital is the only biggest building.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Nightmare on 13th floor.
Yes. Nightmare on 13th floor. It's not scary at all.
No.
But like, I would not ride elevators. I really did not want to. I still don't like elevators, but that's just because I got stuck in the one when I was little. But or after that, but like, I was just like, nope, those are evil, 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 evil.
Yeah, you and I would be quite the pair because I got locked in a freight elevator almost 12 hours once.
Good Lord!
And I watched Dress to Kill, so I don't like elevators.
Yeah, I was washing laundry at our, like, it was, again, the first apartment we lived in, it was three floors, and for some reason they had an elevator in it, but it was also super old, and I got stuck in it, and it wouldn't, like, I pushed the button, and it would take me to a different floor, open up the doors, and then shut again, and I couldn't get out.
I think I've had that nightmare.
Yeah.
I was all alone, and I was, like, 11, maybe. It's like, stairs forever, just...
I feel like TV movies like were a source of a lot of people's kinder trauma. Like I think
they were so weird.
Like because it's like it's being broadcast in your house, and you like turn on the TV and you catch this thing that you don't know what it is. Like there's like you know obviously like Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. I know is one for a lot of people. Bad Ronald obviously is one that you've talked about, but is also for a lot of people. We talked to Colin, or one of our old coworkers. He was saying that the Nightmare on the 13th Floor freaked him out.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Kolchak, the Night Stalker, freaked you out a lot. Like, that was a great, like,
Trilogy of Terror.
Yeah, Trilogy of Terror is another one. It's funny, like,
one where she's being like, she's in a apartment building and she's being like spied on across the way.
Oh, it's the early John Carpenter film, Someone's Watching Me. That was a made-for-TV movie. That's pretty creepy. I mean, even into the 90s when all those Stephen King miniseries were going on, like, I remember watching It, and that creeped the shit out of me. Like, Tim Curry, like, freaked me out.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, I think TV movies are definitely a source of a lot of it for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nightmare on the 13th Floor. Not so much a nightmare.
No, not so much.
Not in reality.
But enough to scare the shit out of you.
Yep. if a commercial scared me, honestly.
Coming soon on the USA World Premiere Movie, If You Dare. USA invites you to spend your Halloween night at a sinister hotel where checking in is easy, but checking out can be murder.
A man was murdered.
Isn't it possible that you imagined all this?
James Brolin and L.A. Law's Michelle Green. Nightmare on the 13th Floor. Coming October 31st.
Commercials for scary movies.
The HBO logo.
Yeah. We didn't have cable, thankfully, I guess. No.
And if you asked me if we had HBO, I don't recall us having HBO, but apparently we did.
But they would do those, like, if you had cable, they'll do those, like, free weeks. Like,
And so
you probably caught it during those times if you didn't have HBO.
Yeah. In a big wooden TV set.
Well, I remember HBO, the Hitchhiker. I remember the opening theme to that used to creep me out. I was too young to watch it because it was kind of a sexy show, I guess.
Or Tales from the Crypt. That was HBO, right?
Yes, Tales from the Crypt. That's a whole other one. I bet that has given many a kid kid trauma.
God, and love TV that show, shows though. In general.
Oh, love that show.
You'd catch bits and pieces of things and you didn't know the whole story. And
That's
another few on my list that we
We may have to make a second trauma.
For sure.
I think we've
but I feel like we've definitely covered a lot of bases here.
Childhood. It's terrifying.
Well, on that note, I guess we should probably wrap this up unless anybody else has anything they want to throw in last minute.
No, thanks for having me as part of the conversation. This has been fun.
Thanks for joining us, Michelle.
Thank you.
You told me. Now I know what that Muppet record
I think
is.
It's Muppet. Wait, I wrote down. Muppet Frog Prince.
Yeah.
Muppet Princess, Prince.
Frog Prince, I think is what it is. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll watch that. We'll report back. Well, sweet. We're officially live now, so people should follow us on the Tape Freaks Facebook, Video Killers Facebook, Video Killers and Tape Freak Instagrams if you're on there. There's the tapefreaks.blogspot. We have the videokillers.podient is our main, the main site for Video Killers, but otherwise we're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Deezer, and if anybody listens to a different podcasting streaming thing and we haven't added to that, please let us know and we'll try and get it on there. But thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with some more fun deep dives into some nerdery.
Bye.
On the next Video Killers.
Sorceress wasn't always in my brain. They say he's not a tapeworm or a guinea worm. Nothing they're used to seeing. I keep it to myself, but I know where he came from.